Hi Rajinder, good to do this podcast with you today. You have done a few, but this is the first time I'm doing it. We often joke in the team that venture capital is basically human capital. Why do we say that? The philosophy behind this is the venture capital evaluate people and ideas, and human capital is also evaluating people and their skills through their ideas and track record.
Dave, thanks, and good to do this with you. You've been part of building the, you know, human capital team at Matrix, and you've been part of, you know, multiple teams over the years, Google, InMobi, Flipkart, and frankly, you've helped more than 40 founders that we've worked with over the years to build market-beating teams. So I'm actually very excited to do this with you, and I'm going to redirect many of the questions back to you. I agree with, you know, your assertion in some ways. I think there are a lot of similarities between venture capital and human capital. But, you know, let's take a step back. I think, you know, the startup and VC ecosystem has changed significantly since 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago, if I look back, you know, there was a lot of capital available for innovative founders and ideas, but the talent was somewhat scarce. Now we're in an environment where the capital is frankly freely and abundantly available. And there's also a much larger bench of experienced talent. So what then truly differentiates companies is going to come down to the speed and quality of execution that, you know, founders can actually drive. And if you want to be one of those companies that scales really fast, then you need to build teams that scale. This is obviously, therefore, one of the qualities that we look for in founders when we're, you know, evaluating their companies and, you know, thinking about whether we want to partner with them. You know, and we're asking ourselves this question, whether they can, you know, truly attract smart and capable people to work for them. This isn't easy. I'm not going to lie. I think this is exactly why we built the, you know, capability within Matrix, because getting high quality talent, getting these rock stars to join a young company can be very challenging given the options that they have. But if you can do it, then frankly, it can be game changing for a startup. So, long answer. Hopefully it answers your question.
No, absolutely. I think that directs the question. How do you convince a rock star to join a young or growth stage startup?
I thought that's what you were going to talk about, but you
know, anyway, sure.
A quick plug here for my colleague Vikram's podcast. I think he's done one earlier, which we should add links to here at the bottom of this one. This is one on extreme hiring. I think he talks about some simple rules. One is get your first 10 L-1 hires fast, right? Don't solve for the perfect hire, solve for speed. When you're trying to find these 10, you know, first hires, rule number two is select them based on their intrinsics and their overall match with, you know, the DNA of the company that you're trying to build. Pedigree, capability, all of these will be good ways to filter. But frankly, if you go really deep on that, the best way to actually figure some of that out is actually through references. What you need to do is really figure out, you know, whether their intrinsics match with your company DNA. And that's, you know, rule number three, right? Which is if you're going to overweight intrinsics and, you know, DNA, and you want to validate the capability through references and reference check like hell, basically, to make sure that the capability is real. I'm going to add a few more rules, which I think, you know, is super important. And this is how to manage life beyond the first 10 hires. Rule number four is when you're hire people who believe in the team and believe in the idea, in addition to, of course, believing in you, the founder. The reason I say this is because, you know, conviction in one may at some point of time falter. But if someone is truly convinced about all three, then, you know, rock stars will very rarely leave, right? Because they really, you know, believe in sticking together with their tribe. Rule number five, and this one I personally believe in strongly, having come from organizations like this, which is create a strong grow from within culture. Many people, you know, are faced with this choice. Founders are faced with this choice early on, which is, you know, okay, maybe the first few hires I will really hire for capability and, you know, intrinsics and DNA, but, you know, beyond a point, you know, how many like, you know, senior lateral hires do I really need in my company, especially at a very early stage. And this is where I would, you know, strongly advise people to actually craft some version of a, you know, management training program for yourself. Hire young people into your company, especially in like, you know, sales, operations, BD kind of roles, and then really grow from within, help people, you know, succeed internally, promote them internally. Maybe, you know, year two folks get, you know, year one management trainees to work with. But this is frankly a consistent trait across all high performing organizations, this whole grow from within culture.
Very interesting.
This isn't to say don't hire expertise laterally, but if you're hiring someone, you know, laterally into a role, you really have to raise the bar, right? Because this person is someone who will come from a different culture, will come from a different DNA. And so, you know, the bar needs to be high to kind of hire someone from outside. Rule number six, and this is again non-intuitive, I would say get your employees to become super active on social media, right? If it's, you know, obviously sales ops, marketing, you know, biz dev people, you know, LinkedIn is a great platform, Twitter is a great platform. And if it's on the tech side, then, you know, you want to get really active on Git or, you know, other online communities, wherever, you know, similar folks are spending time, contribute to, you know, online repositories. I think it helps to build the employer brand phenomenally, right? I think the market.
Basically, you are referring to a talent magnet kind of setup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it, right? The market is competitive. Rockstars only want to work with other rockstars, right? And how do they judge whether this company has great people? I mean, maybe they can connect with the founder, but frankly, they all realize that on a day-to-day basis, it's about, you know, the rest of the org as well, right? And if they don't know who those folks are, who those rock stars are, the best way for them to get familiar is really through, you know, content and you know, what people are putting out there on social media.
Absolutely.
I think get everyone in your company to build their brand. Obviously, it has to be consistent with what the company stands for, but with enough of a distinct point of view to be able to attract other rock stars. Final rule, and I'm going to, you know, then hand it over back to you. I think invest big time in training and onboarding. I think what happens is, you know, people generally, you know, leave training to, you know, the manager. I personally don't believe that model works. I think you need to get, you know, the entire leadership team involved in, you know, onboarding new folks. There should be no formal training without senior leaders of the firm being involved and investing time into training. Who the rock stars meet in their first few weeks really changes how they integrate and perform. And when a rock star joins and sees that, you know, the senior leaders of this company are actually committed to their success, they're going to go and tell 20 other friends of theirs, right? Saying, boss, you know, this company is like, you know, really committed to, you know, building a high quality, you know, org, right? So I would say it's hard to do, you know, purely one-on-one, which is, you know, where it connects back to my earlier comment on, you know, maybe craft a management trainee program or some version of that. Because then you can do this at scale, right? You can do 1:10, 1:20, 1:30. One of the companies I have the privilege of working with off business actually, I think, hires about 40 odd management trainees, maybe 40, 50 odd management trainees every year, right? So it doesn't drag productivity down. In fact, it boosts productivity because you're doing high impact kind of training programs. Everyone's kind of joining at the same time. There's a lot of camaraderie. You know, they then go and tell 20 of their friends saying, boss, this company is like just outstanding. You need to be part of the story. You know, I actually want to turn it to you. You know, I'm sure there are enough examples from your, you know, experience.
No, absolutely. That. Absolutely. I was just thinking when you were talking, and I actually can relate to some of this, and I want to share my experiences here too. Probably what you said and well consolidated, let me take two live case studies or real examples. It will be easier to explain. So one of our edtech company, Camp K-12, it is basically an online edtech platform targeting youngsters to nurture their interest in learning programming, coding, etc. Here the problem was it is a growth stage startup in edtech pre-COVID. And we all know that pre-COVID edtech was not that much in hype. Suddenly after post-COVID, everybody wanted to go in edtech. Now here finding someone who is super talented and as passionate about the idea of the founder, like the founder he himself is, that was really tough and challenging. How we solved that problem? So we naturally built a strong network and relationship in the ecosystem, and that definitely helped here. The candidate whom we hired was actually someone who was in touch with us for a long time, and we nurtured the relationship over the period of time in general, irrespective of any kind of particular opportunity. When this opportunity arrived, through multiple discussions, I mean, with us, with our team, and with the founders, he got more excited about the idea of Camp K-12 and their vision. So it was aligned, and having the strong inbound network and the funnel and the matching rockster to the right companies that they are truly excited about, that something really worked here.
Yeah, no, good example. I think I can relate to it because a lot of people want to join the edtech sector, you know, once this
post-COVID, yeah.
But very, very different kind of people were attracted to the sector before, and, you know, yeah, fully yes. Recognize your,
yeah.
Your point you're making.
The other interesting example is you know, it is about a real-time money gaming company in our portfolio called Zoopy. They are a skill-based gaming company. Here, the problem was the domain itself is highly competitive. The founders and we spend some time, we agree to hire someone who has strong domain experience plus strong intrinsic, and naturally they should be keen in the gaming, even if they're coming from general consumer internet kind of background. So well, in gaming, there are some nuance. Generally, a gaming product leader, they have certain unfair advantage. And they are able to adapt their playbook to a new gaming much faster than someone from the outside of the industry. Let it be how the game design should be, or what is the consumer psychology, how we present the gaming, because it should be very eye-catchy, how to sell that, what analytics they can bring to make the product more efficient and bring the product in the next scale. But in engineering side, on the other hand, you actually need to really just zero in on intrinsic from any consumer internet background. Now, the question here was, the technology leader built for massive scale before, has he done that? Because here it will be like millions of clicks or users we are expecting in few seconds gap. This insight through trivial can save companies a lot of time and the money, especially in a highly competitive market environment where you can imagine if we are losing 3 to 6 months of time due to a wrong hire, that can make a significant difference between winning and losing, right? So we align the founder on what works with our strong suggestions, but let me remind here not to be anywhere prescriptive ever, because founders, they have the best ideas about their companies and they know it better what to do. So keep the search narrow only to the cream layer of the talents, and eventually credit to the good founders who knew what worked best for them.
Yep, got it. So I guess no good examples. Again, I think what you're saying is, know the rock stars out there, so you don't have to go and find them every time you need them, and make sure you're matching the rock star to the right role and right company.
Yes.
I guess people do fit in some ways.
I mean, we between us, we often joke, right? There is no bad talent. It is matching the right talent with the right set of companies or the founders.
Yeah. So tell me, I think, market is obviously getting more competitive, right, Dave? And, you're on the front lines talking to a lot of, a lot of these rock stars, and they have lots of choices. How do you manage to convince them?
I mean, of course, the talent pool, they have a lot of choices. But interestingly, what I'm seeing that the founders also have choices too. And that paradigm is slowly shifting.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's, that I guess ties back to what I was saying earlier, which is that the market has in some way shifted. But then how do founders pick? Like, let's just say they have multiple interesting folks to kind of talk to. What is your advice?
I think one thing on top of my mind is definitely a reference check. That is one primary point as an organization, as an individual, we all believe in, right? So let me tell you that here for the other listeners also, there are three golden rules of the referencing, actually extreme referencing. Speak to a trusted source who has exposure working with the person for a long period of time so that they have seen the journey, they have seen the growth, not in very short time duration. Ask difficult questions to those referrers and try to read between lines or try to get the perspective, what they're saying and what they're not saying, right? To figure out that what is the entire picture on the talent, on the particular candidate you are getting. The third thing is a pattern identification. When, let's say, we are doing sometimes 3, 4, 5 or more than that, in fact, reference check. Something is coming out repetitively in any of the reference checks that is either a red flag or not a red flag. We need to dive deep there. We need to find the pattern and use it for both the parties. Like, we use it for the candidate's growth as well as what the founders should expect and what to be prepared with. I think those are absolutely important. Another effective thing, I think, that is working with different experts in their specialized skills areas. like advisors. They have seen a lot of journeys. They have built companies. They have seen success and failure. So basically seeking their help and including them in the entire process of this journey, that gives a certain age, right? Sometimes we might not be able to, let's say, figure out that how a person is good enough for a tech or a data science or a finance related core skills, but bringing an expert there and getting their view, that really helps. So our ability to bring this network together gives the founder fantastic leverage, in my opinion, and that enables the company's ability to move faster. We invested in the ideas like Tech Circle, data science, product, generalist, right, business side. By the way, another fantastic byproduct I remember of this reference for finding emerging rock stars. So when you know people, when you invest in that network, they automatically route the most talented people towards you because they know whom to be connected with. Build a pipeline of rock star for a long-term vision and keep adding into that pipeline through networking. I think there is no alternative for that.
No. Thank you. No, I guess you put it well. So I guess if I have to summarize, what I'm taking away is hiring rock stars isn't easy. There's a playbook, of course, in terms of, you know, moving with speed, especially at the start. Then, you know, the rules that I added around, you know, building the right team, growing from within, getting active. But frankly, I think the biggest takeaway from me, based on what you're sharing, is actually how do you integrate kind of experts and the network more broadly into, you know, the overall talent acquisition and, you know, kind of team building journey. Because if you pull people from outside the company into your success, as much as you're kind of trying to add, you know, grow, you know, trying to, you know, drive success through the people who are already at your company, frankly, that's like the internal flywheel also working and the external flywheel working for you.
Absolutely.
So frankly, it's a very, very interesting take on things. Worth a little more thought from our side, but appreciate you putting this together.
And the last insight is that great talent always wants to stay connected with their peers across companies. Pulling these folks into a network or a brain trust is super important, according to me, especially during times like COVID, when people wanted to know like how engineers or PMs at another companies, they're solving problems for scale, for reliability, motivation, etc. The human capital team at Matrix is able to bring this network together so as to give founders leverage and ability to move faster with a tight-knit community of highly capable people. Another fantastic byproduct of this whole networking talented engagement forum is finding references for other emerging rockstars. Hiring is hard, you know. Hiring rockstars are even harder. So, but through consistent and simple steps, one can build a pipeline of rockstars for your long-term vision.
Well, that's very well put, Dave. I think, you know, I've always thought of the internal flywheel, and that's the, you know, flywheel that I referred to at the start, which was, you know, about getting the right people into the company, giving them the right training and onboarding, making sure that you know, you have a growth from within culture, you have this management training program. But frankly, you've added another dimension, which is this external flywheel, which is how do you actually bring experts into your, you know, community? How do you, you know, ensure that you're engaging with talent across companies in these, you know, knowledge/, networking forums. Frankly, if you have the internal flywheel working for you, and if you have the external flywheel working for you, I think, you know, any startup or company will be, you know, unbeatable from a talent acquisition perspective. So thank you. Lots of food for thought.
Thank you so much, Rajinder, for doing this today. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.